Hi, and welcome to the Indie Music Podcast, the podcast for independent musicians and other music professionals. We're your hosts, myself, Matt Denton, also known as Mojo, of Ragged Birds Music. I'm a recording artist and mix engineer. And Douglas Reynolds of Resonance Studio, a mastering and recording engineer.
The last time, I must have bumped my desk like 200 times. I had so much extra work in post.
You know what I never do? I never say, hey, thanks, listener, for showing up and listening to our podcast.
Yeah, it's not that we don't care.
No, we really do. We're really thrilled that anybody listens at all, frankly. But thanks for joining us today. We're going to just have a little chat. Hey, Doug, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. How about yourself?
Less than excellent, but I'll say I'm doing all right.
Right.
It's been a very strange week.
Oh, it has.
For everybody. I think it's been a strange week for everybody, but, you know, moving forward.
This week, I don't know if you ever have weeks like this, but my goal in the morning that I've been setting for myself has been to talk to as few people as possible and to not start any discussions.
That's a good goal. Oh, I can't talk to anybody first thing in the morning. Oh, do you mean, well, you work at home, right? So you mean like online and everything?
Online throughout the day, no, trying not to chat, colleague discussions and things like that. It's been.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've made a habit of like staying off social first thing in the morning. I'll look and see if I got any actual like texts or something, because sometimes my van texts me or something, or somebody, you know, asks me a question or something. But if it's just general, whatever, notifications, I just put the phone down and then I do whatever my intention was, which I set the night before. Is it, am I going to read a book? Am I going to mix a song? Am I going to, I'm taking 2 online courses right now. Am I going to do some coursework? Wow. Whatever my previous night's intention was, I just wake up and I do that thing and I don't have to think about it. I'm trying to streamline my thought process. I'm trying to eliminate decision fatigue, which I think we talked about before, just kind of the whole, you know, your brain eats up most of your calories and by the end of the day, it's exhausted from decision fatigue. And I think that social media really exacerbates that, because every time you look at any snippet of content, you're deciding, is this relevant to me? Do I need to follow this link? Do I know this person? I mean, it's like, you know, even like every single tweet you see is like 30 decisions. And like by the end of the day, you have no brain left. And if you start the day that way, it just,
you're swimming through a lot of noise just to,
I feel like it scrambles my brain. Like I can't have a single thought to myself if I look at anything on the computer that's not a single focused task. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is not our topic for today.
Actually, it is, because, you know, you take those focused topics and you've got this goal of wanting to get into something and then see it through to some certain extent without interruption. Right. But then you're getting interrupted and it's causing you to have a shift in how you're doing things and how you're getting to the point of reaching your goals for the day.
That was a really nice segue.
So, okay, I'm done now, man.
Yeah. No, that was really good.
But with that in mind, and the whole pivotal aspect of it, I was thinking, nah, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something.
So you're pivoting away from our topic of pivoting. I see what you did there. So our topic today is pivoting, and like, when an obstacle comes up in your way and you can't go over it, you got to go around it or go back. And I was thinking about this in terms of the other day, and now it's kind of snowballed and it's become a million things. But when I heard that South by Southwest was canceled, and I was thinking, wow, that's a bummer for everybody that was planning to have a show there. And then I was kind of thinking along those lines, well, what about all the people that make their living from, or make a significant portion of their income from touring? And what do you do when your tour is canceled or your show is canceled? And I thought, well, you can either, you know, cry in your beer, or you go home and record some more, or you could be a little innovative and pivot and turn your scheduled show into an online stream show.
Sure.
Or something to that effect. Or you know, if it was a festival, I mean, you could even go so far as to organize an online stream festival. I mean, you know, somebody like Bree Noble, who puts together those summits with all of the different content providers, and it's basically like a whole online, you know, conference, you know, one scheduled content provider after another, and each one has a presentation and they offer something for free, and it's like a, usually a 2-day thing. Anyway, it's a whole, you can do something like that with music, like a virtual, you know, like a virtual Lollapalooza kind of a thing. Yeah, it would take some effort, but sure. I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, an obstacle comes in your way, what do you do?
Right. I think on like something like that, if they're not prepared for any of that digital technology.
Oh, not South by Southwest in particular. I just meant as a band, as a performer, as a creative, as somebody who has something, you know, a roadblock and you can't go through it.
Right.
Is your inclination to turn around and go back, or is your inclination to, you know, wait it out, or is your inclination to think of a creative way to pivot and do something slightly different along the same lines?
And I wonder, is that contingency planning, or
it
is
could
this
be
working from the spur of the moment? I mean, is this going, hey, I should think, what would I do if this doesn't work out?
Right.
And actually have a plan in action.
Well, that would
I could
be great.
Pivot to, you know, I mean, you can't certainly think of everything, but let's say you have something that you want to do and it's dependent upon that type of event. You know, if you're going to be
right
presenting or something, and this is a month or two ago, and you have no idea that there could potentially be some type of cancellation.
Right.
I guess,
it wouldn't occur to you necessarily that was going to happen. So that's a good question. I mean, you can't plan for everything, but you know, I was a Boy Scout once upon a time, and I always kind of go through life, you know, hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. Although, you know, I don't know how much food I have stored up in the event of, you know, mandatory quarantine or anything weird like that. But we
paper.
Do actually in this area, we do kind of get trained to store up stuff in case of an earthquake or whatnot.
Sure.
Yeah, you can't plan for everything, but I think it's always a good idea to have one, you know, have a thought out there like, well, what happens if this falls through? And I think a lot of people kind of, I could be wrong, I think a lot of people kind of think that way anyway, just because they're realists or pessimists, or, you know, if you're a creative, you've had a lot of rejection, you've had a lot of things fall through.
Yeah.
And you may have made, you may have built in contingency planning.
I don't know if it's just because of you and I are active in social media, and the things that we do on multiple social platforms.
Right.
There's like redundancy of a lot of different things.
True.
And we typically aren't throwing all of our content eggs into one basket.
You know, right.
And the things that we're promoting, or the things that we're doing.
Like if Instagram's down one day, I usually hear about it on Twitter and I don't
miss.
Yeah.
You know, we've got.
Except for that one time, man. Like there was a Twitter outage right after I started a DIY music chat on one Friday, and it literally lasted the hour that I had scheduled for that chat.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, the universe didn't want me to have a chat that day, and nothing you can do about that. I had no contingency plan.
Our chat shows aren't mission critical if they're delayed or, you know.
I just felt bad because, you know, some people literally do make time or take time out of their day to come and join us for that, even if it's only for a few minutes. And, you know, you hate to disappoint people, but that was clearly beyond anybody's control.
But
it was really annoying.
Yeah.
It was really annoying that day. It wasn't that long ago either. It was like last month. But no, I had no.
Maybe if I was going to do a presentation somewhere for a group, and I used to do this, give technical presentations.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that was to a local users group of some technology that I used to be involved in. But I would always record that because I would go back and I would use recordings to transcribe from and write blog posts to follow that up with and things. Okay. But I had the recording, so I could actually go ahead and republish the recording from that presentation as well. So I was able to, if that got canceled, I would still do the blog. I would still do, you know, maybe the recording of me presenting just at home and not actually in front of people or something like that. But
right.
But giving the presentation, maybe, you know, because I had the intention of this is going to go to multiple places anyway, if one of them failed, I would just do the other ones.
Right.
And not that I'm super smart about doing that kind of thing. It's just that I set myself up to, I'm going to promote this in as many places as makes sense, you
sure.
know, as I can. So if you go about that type of planning activity, if you will, or intention,
mm-hmm.
then if one thing blows up, then just keep going with the other ones.
Right. Repurposing content is a great way to get more mileage out of your efforts. I think also, both of us have been IT professionals for a while, and we have had it drilled into us a long time to build in redundancy into all of our systems.
Yeah.
Make sure you back up everything, make sure you never have all your content in one place and that kind of thing. So, you know, we are a little bit more trained.
Maybe that's that's just a mentality from our backgrounds.
That's what I'm thinking. But I was thinking also, I mean, I don't know when I even had a chance to dwell on all of this stuff, but in terms of pivoting, I was thinking also in terms of like career paths and things. Now, I also was thinking about the metaphor of pivoting, how it's really kind of, I think it's related to basketball. When you hold the ball and you can't take a step, but you can plant one foot and move it back and forth. So you're really literally pivoting.
Yeah.
And that's what they call it. You can't go anywhere, but you can change direction. And you're in the same situation, but you're changing direction. And I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, what about when you are not having the success that you want in a, say, a creative field? Maybe you're, you know, you're not, your music isn't reaching the audience you want to reach, and you kind of get frustrated. And what I was thinking of was, when do you think, okay, I'll pivot into something related but different versus this isn't working at all, maybe I should give it up? And when do you know, this is a rhetorical question, I don't know the answer, when do you know, how do you know when it's time to shift gears and do something different, or time to really do something different and just hang it up?
It's funny you bring this up, because did you see the video from Warren Hoort that came out today with his interview of Howard Benson?
No, I rarely have time to watch them on the day they come out, but yeah. It's in my list.
I watched a little bit of it today. So he was talking about being a producer in hair metal when hair metal had gone out, and
yep.
he had to repurpose himself. And he has repurposed himself over and over and over again through his career, in order to stay relevant, you know.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. Like a lot of current producers and mixers and things, they used to be in a band and the band broke up, or they had, you know, life and family and all that stuff that we have. And then they became something else, but still music related. They pivoted from being a guitarist into being a producer or mix engineer. And it's just interesting how some people do that. Some people pivot into a similar but different path, while other people will either, you know, get frustrated, or they'll, you know, they'll stick around in a cover band just so they can keep playing guitar rather than thinking about maybe this isn't the right path.
Yeah, I think it's important to just be able to adapt, because things change, and
yes,
and if you don't change, then you're, how do you want to say it? You know, your odds of success have diminished as a result of trying to force something into a situation that isn't conducive to what it used to be.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. What's the old saying about, I don't know if it's Aesop's fable, about, you know, how the stout, sturdy tree will break in the hurricane, but the grass that bends to the wind will survive.
Yeah. That makes me think of the quote from Dune. I will bend like a reed in the wind, you know. And I have said that to myself, you know, in situations where I know that I need to have flexibility. It's not just in big things. It's not just in career changes. It's in redirections in your tasks where you're like really deep into something, but something else has come up as a higher priority and you need to drop what you're doing and move to something else because of a priority.
And that happens daily.
And priorities should drive activity, in my opinion. So
agree.
Priorities change. And so those are excellent examples of small things on a daily basis where you're changing directions. And
right.
And when you pivot, you haven't actually changed directions. You have set an intention to change your direction.
That's
you
know, an that, interesting way to look at it.
You could pivot multiple times, but not actually do anything. You could just be looking at what's out that direction.
Right. You know, maybe that takes you back to decision fatigue.
Yeah. it could take you all the way back around to what you were originally doing.
Right.
You pivot to make a decision, I think. You're going to have a decision process in that, whether... Or you've made the decision, but you need to pivot first to change that direction. You know, there's that.
Right, and then you always think of the rush thing. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, I think people can become paralyzed with when faced with certain decisions. And rather than make a choice, you know, let life or circumstances choose for them and then... That's no longer an intention. That's just letting life happen to you.
Yeah. And that can swing widely the other way to analysis paralysis, where you're thinking about it too much rather than not at all. And getting anything done because that could also lead to paralysis from fear of that change.
Yeah. You know, so much
there's
of
a whole
fear.
Lot of different things that could go on inside someone before they even get to a point that, they've done anything.
Right. And I was laughing a minute ago because the quote that I always say to myself from Dune was fear is the mind killer.
Yeah.
Fear. Yeah. And the litany against fear by the Bene Gesserit. You know, I just bought that book for my son when I was down in LA.
Did you?
Yeah. I've been trying to get him to read it forever. And he's one of those kids that if you tell him to do something, he'll resist it with all his might. But when he finds it himself, like I tried to teach him to cook for years and years and years. It wasn't until he moved out. He's like, hey, Dad, I learned how to cook. Oh, good. And now we cook together. So, you know, he's laid up with his back. And while he was at a doctor's appointment, I went to the bookstore and bought him a copy of Dune. I'm like, you're not going anywhere. You might as well read this finally.
Actually, I have a Dune quote on my website.
Oh, do you really?
I do. And it's from Muad'Dib. It's actually a Frank Herbert quote, you know. But
sure,
it's a process cannot be understood by stopping it. Understanding must move with the flow of the process, must join and flow with it. Man, when I first heard that, it was like a revelation, and it's been like my main mantra of how I do anything.
Yeah, you know, that's a great quote.
Yeah,
I love that book so much. I can't tell you how many times I've read it.
Yeah.
I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. Yeah, that's a great quote. It's a great book. If you haven't read Dune, go read Dune. It's got everything. It's got, you know.
Yeah, then you'll know what we're talking about.
It's got, you know, drama, intrigue, battles, romance.
It will change your life.
It will. It will.
You will be different.
Don't watch the movie, but definitely read the book. Oh. There's a new one coming out, you know. They're making another one. I hope it's good.
There's always that risk.
I just wish they made the
so if,
one
if it
that
sucks,
never made.
Is it going to ruin the first one for you?
I'll just read the book again.
To kind of rinse that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Read the book again to
just read the book again. Yeah, that book is to science fiction what the Lord of the Rings is to fantasy. It's just It's just a seminal work of literature. Anyway, back to pivoting. This is just something that was on my mind. When do you pivot? You know what helps in this is I was thinking also having a mentor or having somebody you can go to and say, hey, this is where I'm at with my stuff. What do you think I should do next? Do you have somebody you go to when you have questions like that?
I probably have a lot of people I go to if for different contexts. Like, I have a guitar teacher.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's important to study from people who inspire you, who, when whatever it happens to be, you find yourself saying, man, I'd like to be able to do that, or I want to do what, you know, or be able to do what I just saw or what I just heard, whatever right. the case may be. I think it's important to find those people. We can't ever presume that we're the best at something. There's always someone who is better or in some way or is different. And those people can bring a lot to the table and influence and creativity. And even the whole thing of listening to other people's music for inspiration.
Sure.
And learning and record copying and things like that.
And other genres of music too.
Sure. But yeah, to answer your question, I do.
That's good. I should get a guitar teacher. All my extra time.
It's good. It actually gives me a sense of accountability to someone else other than myself for
yes.
something that's important to me.
So. I had a vocal coach there for a while, and I really needed it that year. I had that sinus surgery, and I had to relearn how to sing, and I had a vocal coach for a year. But I kind of dropped it because I wasn't putting in the time to practice, and it wasn't. So then it wasn't really. I felt like it wasn't fair to either one of us if I wasn't going to, you know, carve out time to weekly practice yeah. the things that we worked on. But
think,
I did learn a lot.
Think about it. What's important to you? If I think about that to myself and I'm like, well, I've got people that I go to for inspiration and advice for fitness and health.
Sure.
And for music and for audio production. And let's see. Gosh, I have family that I rely on a lot for, mm-hmm. I have friends for, you know, and confiding and looking for help with making decisions and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it's important to have a support network. I think it's also an important thing to have an expert network that you can ask sure. questions on.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I hadn't even thought, you know, that too. If you're on a good team,
mm-hmm.
and that's key, it's a good team.
Right.
And that just means that people are not in it for themselves. They're in it for supporting everyone else that's around right. them. Because when the team comes together and does that, everybody succeeds.
Yeah.
Or in some way or some level. Or everybody, you know, it could go downhill too, but everybody goes together. You know, but...
Here we come.
Yeah. And so at least it's not, you're not doing that solo, you know, but having that, you have an established peer network then of, what's the term that you just used of,
just an expert network.
Expert network. Yes. And everybody's focused in on the same type of thing in that team in different areas or aspects of the same goals in right. that you can reach out to others into areas outside of your area of expertise to,
yeah.
you know, that.
And some people go and formalize that into what they're calling a mastermind group that meets, you know, you meet regularly and you're not necessarily, you know, in the same field, but you're like at a level where you can all share experiences and offer advice to each other.
I find myself saying mastermind group and wringing my hands together.
and I put my pinky to my chin and say $1 billion. Yeah, it's good to have a support network. And if you, you know, on the days where I don't feel like I have somebody to ask, I just kind of say to myself, well, what would you tell somebody if they came to you with that question? Like, what would I tell myself if I wasn't me and I came to myself with that question? And sometimes that helps me kind of visualize, what would I tell somebody else if they had that same question? And then kind of that helps me come up with an answer.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have thought of any other way.
And when I do that,
sometimes it's so obvious it hurts.
When I do that, it's usually Google it.
Right. So, yeah. My mentor network is YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube, Stack Overflow, Medium.
There's great articles on Medium.
Sure. I've reached out to my network on Twitter. before. There's producer groups and things like that that I'm involved in. I think that's the key is having networks of people, and the expert group is an important thing. So if it's about music and composition that's important to you, then getting yourself in with an expert group of composers and musicians makes a lot of sense, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the whole rising tide lifts all ships thing, like everybody's in it. Nobody knows everything, and everybody just, you know, leans on everybody else for help and information, even if they appear to be an expert. And what's the other saying I've heard? If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah. I think everybody has something to bring to the table. So term an expert group, maybe that's not appropriate. It's a knowledge group. And
there you go. A knowledge group.
You might end up going, hey, am I an expert in this? Maybe I don't belong in the expert group.
Right.
I certainly have some knowledge in this area.
Maybe that's why I kind of have an issue with the term mastermind group, because I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Mastermind with Will Ferrell. That's a great movie too. But it's just, it kind of makes you think of an evil supervillain somehow.
It really does. I'm wringing my hands right now.
I'd rather be part of a knowledge sharing group where we share knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of use Twitter for anyway.
And that's the great thing about the resources of YouTube today versus what we used to have. And for any topic, there's a whole lot available to us, anybody right now with any interest in a lot of different platforms, of whether it be video, or we're trying to provide that type of content in the DIY music chat and the audio mix chat. You know, anybody that's out there giving away things to help other people, to spur on conversations and learn more. And I know you are too, and as am I. I mean, I'm out there to learn, and when I'm doing audio mix chat, I'm not saying that I'm the expert. I'm just happen to be the host because I want to get some people involved in a conversation so I can pitch in where I can and then grab what I need where I can as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I never started that chat to be an expert. I started to learn stuff. Every week I have a question that I'd like to have answered by the groupthink.
Yeah.
Like this podcast. This podcast is just for... to spur conversation and get people thinking about stuff. And
yeah, that's really nice when we do this, and it's all kind of one way. But then recently some comments and some feedback, and man, I want to tell you, to our listeners, thank you. That type of stuff takes this one way thing that we're doing and gives it bi-directional communication.
Yeah.
where it's not just Matt and I talking anymore. It's now the conversation is gone outside of this recording and into that, whatever, where if it's on Twitter, if you've contacted us via our contact form for questions or for ideas or made a comment on one of the episode posts, if you've given us feedback out on an iTunes podcast or Spotify, you can find us on Stitcher now too. You know, if you've done those things, that's giving us something back that helps us know that you're there, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that lights our fire.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise we're just, having a nice conversation that's just kind of out there in the wind.
Right.
But, love getting feedback. Love hearing that somebody's listening and that you know, helped them, or that they found it interesting even.
Yeah.
We like it. But back to YouTube, they have everything out there. I use it for like car repair instructions. My kids use it for cooking tips. So if you want to, you know, pivot into a new career, I'm sure all that information is out there on YouTube.
Yeah, certainly.
Become a celebrity chef.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of music and guitar related research and practice from YouTube. There's some artist musicians out there that give a lot that I really like what they're doing and the genres that they're teaching. And it is, there's a lot of teaching going on. There's a lot of useful information. I just, you know, I had a really productive practice this evening before this recording. It was on some new material that was related to, I'm working on vocabulary. Okay. It's really abstract. I want to have a musical vocabulary. Okay. I want to be able to talk music, you know, and not,
yeah.
I'm talking about playing and
right, you know,
I don't want to talk about music. I want to play it, but I want to have a vocabulary to play. Okay. And I have this like thing, and when I first listened to like Kenny Werner that we talked about a couple podcasts ago, talks about music as a language, and mm-hmm. Victor Wooten talks about music as a language, and how music is learned is much like that of learning to speak, whatever language that right. is for you, you know?
I think it is a language. I think it's a form of expression and a form yeah. of communication.
Yeah. And so when you're a baby, you don't come out speaking.
Right.
You come out eventually, you know, you start babbling and, right. you know, you're musical. Hearing. Yeah. And so the whole process of how a human being learns to speak through examples of those around them, their parents and siblings, you know, where they go from uttering syllables to babbling to beginning to form words and then putting multiple words together for phrases and sentences and, you know, and all of a sudden it's built out into being able to communicate. And that's the way I think music is fundamentally learned, you know, how to play. And I think that's vocabulary. And so my study has been related upon how can I build a musical vocabulary? And, you know, it's so abstract. I don't know how to learn that. So anyway, that's what I've been focusing on is kind of learning how to learn that. And
I like that concept. That's really cool. If you find some videos you want to recommend, shoot them to me.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing on that. So far it's just been like, oh, here's some, well, today was all pentatonics and here's a bunch of stuff that you can do with pentatonic scales in different keys and then break them up so that you're making jazz lines out of pentatonic patterns and then, and you've got different type of
phrases.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, where you're different patterns and organization of notes in and out of different orders. And, you can take three notes and play them in different orders and with different rhythms. And you've got a ton of different types of chops there. As many different rhythms with three notes as you can come up with, and you can play all day long.
True. I've done that. That's a great exercise.
When you do that, every time you do a new lick, that's a new word. And
right.
it's a new thing that you can add to your vocabulary.
Yeah, my problem is I don't remember them.
Yeah, that's the thing. And in order to make it vocabulary, you have to practice it over and over and over again and then apply it to something that you're doing. So you write a song. You do something that then it becomes memorable and it's part of your repertoire and
right.
it's something that you use. It's
that's what I'm missing then.
Yeah.
Using it over and over until it becomes just a part of my vocabulary.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's the way I'm approaching that. I'm just a beginner at trying to do this. You know, I've practiced scales and modes and I sound, you know, for years and years. And when I play, I think to myself that I sound like I'm playing scales and modes
right.
and stuff. And I haven't ever felt as musical as I hear the people that really inspire me do. And I'd like to try and figure out what it is that they're doing.
Very cool. Now I'm inspired. I'm inspired to go play some guitar. I'll have to do that after dinner now.
But yeah, I've been screenshots and I'm organizing different folders on my computer of material that's related to and trying to do a good job in naming files so that I can go back and find stuff later, you know, because it ends up if I don't.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Naming conventions of files and folders. I every so often I just redo the way I organize everything.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah,
because you,
end up with
beforehand.
A ton of the stuff. I mean, you could spend a week or two finding stuff that you like and saving links and, you know, copying and pasting stuff that you want to come back and work on and reread and videos and stuff that you want to practice and ideas. And
well, yeah, because how do you even name a file? Hey, where was that file where I went? Oh, yeah, that was called... sketch number 3. How are you supposed to ever find that?
Right.
I don't know. I have no way of, I have no recommendation there. It's a conundrum.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an interesting chat, Doug.
It has.
I will say that I am inspired to go play some guitar.
Oh, do.
I will. I'm going to pivot right into that.
I wanted to give myself, can I give myself a quick plug?
Give yourself a quick plug, Doug.
I have a file that's freely downloadable from my website, and it's called Demystifying Midside Processing. And if you're into audio and production, you're in mixing and or mastering, and you're interested in learning a little bit more from a high level about what mid-side processing is, then this file is downloadable directly from the homepage of my website. Scroll to the bottom, and you can click it on the link and get a PDF there. And I'd love to share that with you for free. And then that is definitely open for any conversations that might spawn from that to talk about mid-side processing. But it's a neat subject, and it's a real powerful technique. And I think if you've even heard about it and would like any more information, this would be a good place to start.
Cool.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for offering that. I read it. It's good.
Oh, thanks.
It's short, and it's informative. All those good things.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it incredibly difficult to get through, because it could be a big topic. But I think I'm hoping it's a conversation starter, or it's thought-provoking, you know, to look for.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right. Maybe we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
So I guess that wraps it up for today. Have a great evening, and thanks again for listening. Cheers, Doug.
All right, cheers.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Indie Music Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave us a comment or a review and share with your friends. Hit us up on our website at indiemusiccast.com. Find myself on Twitter at Mojo's Army. Find Douglas on Twitter at Rezo Studio. Thanks. Until next time, keep creating.